Welcome to a Burst of Hope podcast with your co-hosts, Kim Stanley and Martha Wilson. Who couldn't use a little hope, encouragement, and inspiration? Tune in every week as we share heart-to-heart conversation with other hope seekers. Join us at the table for real talk that will meet you right where you are. So go ahead, press pause on worry, overwhelm, and crazy, and breathe in God of Hope. Hello, friends. Welcome to A Burst of Hope. Hey, today is a special day. A couple reasons. We are on episode 25. So this is a banner episode for us. And also because of our special guest today, Martha and I are so excited to have Jean Stevens as our guest today. And we're actually in her home, and we're so thankful that she's been gracious to invite us. And you are going to be so blessed when you hear her stories of hope today. Amen. We're just so glad to be with you today, Jean.
Amen. Thank you. It's such a privilege. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we are too.
I can't get too excited. But what? We could spend a whole lot of time just talking about how much I love the two of you.
Oh, let's do
it. I know. And what y'all mean to me in the 20 years that I've known you both.
20 years.
Oh, well, there's just too much to talk about. But that was just on my heart.
We feel that way. On the way here, we were just saying how honored and privileged that we feel in this day to get to be in your home and to sit with you. You have impacted our lives personally so much.
And you have mine. Grateful.
You continue to, some of the things that we know you for that God has allowed you to be involved in. Well, we know you were married to your husband Steve for 55 years until he passed away, went home, and he was a pastor all that time, right? So you're a pastor's
50
wife.
Years.
50 years. He was a pastor. That's a long time. And so you have children. You have three children. Mm-hmm. You have 8 grandchildren.
I do.
And 14 great-grandchildren.
I do.
We can just stop right there and go, woo-hoo!
You know what? I can name them all.
I know you do. I know you are like very hands-on in all of their lives, and that's another reason we love you and learn so much from you. And then you're also the founder and director of a ministry called Crucified Life, and I know we're going to hear more about that as the time goes on, we want to tell our listeners. But like you said, we've known you for, I can't believe it's been
20 years.
But through Touching Hearts, you started coming and we got to meet you, and you were, man, the Lord used you so much in all of our lives there, because you were just get up and share from the riches of your relationship with Jesus, and we all were like always leaning in. Anytime Mama Jean spoke, everybody leaned in.
Yes.
And because it was real and it was gripping and it was truth and
it was love.
And just personally, you've been a mentor to me and your teaching of Crucified Life and just, you know, sharing personally and ministry stuff. I just love you and I'm so grateful.
I love you too. I love you too.
Jean, your impact on my life goes on and on. And just last week, no, I guess it was 2 weeks ago when I was teaching at Touching Hearts, and one of your illustrations came to my mind, and I mentioned your name and that I remembered you teaching that, you know, when sometimes you just can't come to an agreement and you're just back and forth and it's like a tug of war. And you taught us the phrase, you said, just drop the rope.
I remember that.
And someone came up to me afterwards and said, out of everything that you said today, that was what I needed. So you've deposited in us, and friends that are listening in today, I know that you're going to agree that Jean is going to deposit into your lives today, and so many things to talk about. So I wanted to start with Hebrews 11. There's this chapter in the Bible, and in this particular Bible it says by faith. And there's this whole listing of heroes of faith that we get to look at and say, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. It goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And so I told Kim I would write in my Bible today, by faith Jean.
Yeah.
And I know that we're going to hear, you know, faith stories, and I don't know where you want to start, but just jump in and we're going to just tag along and enjoy the journey with you.
Okay. I do know where I want to start.
Good.
My husband and I had been in ministry 20 years, And we were in a wonderful church, Bethel Baptist Church in Smyrna. And I loved that church so much. I loved the people. I think it was the sweetest ministry that we've had. We were there a little over 8 years, which was a long time for us. But I was teaching Sunday school. I was singing in the choir. I was attending every service. Every time the doors were open, I was there. I was the model preacher's wife. I worked hard. I worked hard to be the model preacher's wife. And at the same time, I was working. I was a field coordinator for Appalachian Council with Job Corps. And in 84, I was rushing about, you know, getting ready to go to work and thinking about everything. And I heard God say, not audibly, but in my spirit, and the two of you know how it is when He speaks through our spirit. I'll never forget what He said, "You're not spending enough time with me." And I thought, you know, I won't argue. Well, look what I'm doing. And He said, "You're not spending enough time with me." And so I stopped. And I decided at that time that I would get up 30 minutes earlier than I needed to, you know, to get ready for work. And so I began, and that one point of obedience opened the door. And it was like the floodgates opened up. When I spent time reading during that 30 minutes and praying, and God spoke to me as I read the Bible. You know, He speaks to us through our spirit. Mm-hmm. He speaks to us through the Word.
Yeah.
And He speaks to us through conviction a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So He spoke to me again. And out of the Bible. And He said, "It's time to give up your job." And I thought, whoa, wait a minute, you know. I don't know, but I felt it. Mm-hmm. I knew it. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm going to give the illustration that I heard on YouVersion just this week, mm-hmm. or last week. The preacher said, you know, when you tell your kids to go clean up their room, and they go, and you go up and you look, and it's not clean, and you say, "Didn't you hear me say clean up your room?" Mm-hmm. And yes, they heard, but they didn't obey. So we can hear, but not obey. Mm-hmm. So I spoke to Steve, and I said, "I think God wants me to give up my job." And I was making pretty good money. Uh-huh. And but he, oh my goodness, don't get me started on him because I'll cry. But he was my cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well," he said, "I'll pray with you about it." Mm-hmm. And so we left it alone. And because I do believe in being, the husband is the head of the home. Yes. Or I'll just put it that way. Yeah. And so he came back a few days later, and he said, "You know what? I feel it too."
Wow.
He said, "God has spoken to me that you're right. Mm-hmm. You need to give up your job."
Wow.
And so I did. And so maybe like a year passed, and I thought, okay, here I am. I've given up my job. Wow. I'm spending time with you. I would get to where I would walk from the house to the church, and then I would pray while I was in the church. I'd walk back and forth praying, and then I would walk home. And so nothing happened. So the time came that we would go to the Southern Baptist Convention. We were traveling through East Texas, we drove to Dallas, and we were in East Texas. And I don't know if you're familiar with Keith Green.
Yes.
Yeah, Keith Green Ministries, uh-huh. Last Days Ministries. Mm-hmm. I said, "Let's stop." I said, "I would love to see it because I loved Keith Green."
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Lisa and I went to one of his concerts, and she and I both, I mean, all my kids love him. Johnny especially, he's back in, he just read his book, and again, and he's back into to Keith Green, but at this time, Keith had already died. So we stopped and we went in and we were looking at, you know, how they do their mail outs and so forth. It was kind of like a warehouse type thing. And I met a group of people, and I had noticed a school bus outside. And so I met a group of people and we began talking. And I said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "We're from Minnesota." "We're from Minnesota."
You can remember that well.
Yeah, I can. And I said, "What are you doing? Where are you going?" And she said, "We're going to Mexico. We're going to give out Bibles." And I said, "Oh, that's great." We left there. We went on to the convention. It was not a good convention that year. It was just some things going on that we didn't like. So on the way back, we got into that area where God had, I didn't know it, but God had planted a seed right then in my heart, and I didn't really know it. And so we got back to that area, and I told my husband, I said, "You know what? You remember those missionaries that are going to Mexico?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "That's what it's all about." I said, "What we just saw, that's not what it's about." And I said, "What they're doing is what it's all about." Mm. We drove a little bit farther, and I said, "You know what?" And he said, "What?" I said, "I'm going to start studying Spanish."
Oh, gosh, I love this story.
Right then, God put in my heart to study Spanish because of the little seed, you know, that was planted. And so I said, "I'm going to start studying Spanish." And he said, "Okay." Well, I got home and I became so obsessed with learning Spanish. I had, you know, the little stickers. Mm-hmm. I put stickers on the table that said mesa and the chair silla. And I put stickers around the Spanish words for everything in my house. Wow. My house was full of stickers. And so he passed by me one day while I bought workbooks and just I even listened to the old telenovelas, you know, so that I could hear and hear conversation. And so he laughed at me one day while I was poring over those books, and he said, "That has to be of God." He said, "I have never seen you stay with something that long and so excited about it and so obsessed with it."
Now remind us how old you were at this time when you heard God say that.
Okay. Let me think. It was 1984. I'm going to have to tell my age. Is that okay?
No, well, yeah, that's great
if
you want to.
I was born in 38.
Yeah. I mean,
do the math.
I thought I remembered you were close to your 50s when you heard that from
That was later
started,
on.
Okay.
That was later on when I went to college.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was 50 years old and I went to Kennesaw.
Wow.
So that had always been a dream anyway, because I got married so young I didn't get to go to college. And I was just in heaven. And I didn't even have to take the first two classes in Spanish. I already knew enough to go into like Spanish 2. Mm-hmm. Took those classes. I took every class that Kennesaw had to offer in Spanish.
That's awesome.
So you were really driven because God was in it.
Yeah, I was. And, you know, even some of my kids will say, "I wish I could learn to speak Spanish." And I said, God gave me the obsession because he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, yes.
And so all of that, just, it was like a flower opening. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll put it that way. Because I thought, you know, because we had such a great church and I was doing so much that I couldn't do any more. Yeah. Could I? Mm-hmm. God says, "Yes, you can." Mm-hmm. And so about a year passed, and see, all this time it didn't happen so quickly. Mm-hmm. It seems like it did, but it really didn't, the first parts of it. A friend of mine said, there's a group from Mount Paran, Church of God, you know where that is, mm-hmm. is up in all right, close to our church. They're going to Mexico. She said, I'm going with them. I said, I want to go. And so she said, well, let's go to the meeting. And it was so funny when I walked in. The lady who was in charge, who later became a very good friend of mine, Margie Abernathy. I don't even know if she's living now, but she became such a good friend of mine because she was so funny. So we walked in and they were sitting around and talking about the going to Mexico. I said, I'm a Baptist preacher's wife. Can I go? And Margie says, well, honey, God don't care what you want. Of course you can go. It was so fun. And so I went.
Yes. Wow.
And God provided the funds. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first trip to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's so cool.
And I know that story is going to go on, but before we go on with that story, I just want to pause a minute that, you know, back to when you started, you were talking about hearing God and obeying God.
Yeah.
And you heard, you knew he was calling you to himself, because we know he is jealous for us, jealous to be with us.
That's right.
And you obeyed that and began to spend time. But I know for myself personally, you know, when we hear God and to quit your job. Okay, so there's got to be a reason. Our mind starts going, why are you calling me to quit my job?
Right.
What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And then there can be that long waiting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And while we're waiting, a lot is happening, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's like we want it to be quick. We want to know. We feel like we're missing God.
Right away.
There's that. But in the waiting, he's doing something, isn't he, James?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And on this trip, I had learned enough Spanish that I was the soloist. And at that time, Kim, I was doing a lot phonetically that I didn't really know what the words meant.
Yeah.
But I learned it. You know, Steve Green has a tape in Spanish, and it's beautiful. Well, it's a tape. I'm sure it's a CD now. But so I sang, and we ministered. We didn't really have a lot of plans, you know. But the leader of the group was Helen Mann, and we went into Ciudad Victoria in Mexico. And that was my first experience of being, you know, totally in a Latin America. So Helen Mann, she was watching me one time. We were outside and there were lots of children, and she said, Jean, God has just given me a prophecy about you. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, God has shown me that in the future you are going to have a ministry with lots of little brown children.
Oh my goodness.
And Martha, remember one time, Martha, I think you were with us, I'm not sure, but we drove in on our bus in El Salvador. And when it was that area where we put the table and it was so pretty and everything, remember that one? I don't know if you were with us on that trip, Kim.
Yes, I was with that one. Yeah, okay. I know what you're talking about.
Well, the kids came running out to the bus. Yeah. Mama Jean, Mama Jean, Mama Jean, Mama Jean. I thought about my prophecy about what Helen Mann had said. And there they were, my children.
There they were.
My children. Yeah. And that's another story, isn't it?
Yeah.
How we started that ministry. Yeah. Let's don't do that yet.
Yeah, we want to hear about that. And that would be the birthing of your ministry there in El Salvador. But I would love to just, you know, ask you just words of encouragement to any of our friends that are listening in today that just, you know, feel like that God has a call on their life, has something for them, but it seemed like nothing's happening. What would you say to
them? Oh, I think it's like, I hate to compare myself with Abraham, but, you know, Abraham, God says, get up and go to a country that you don't know and anything. And Abraham was faithful. Mm-hmm. And because he was faithful, look what happened.
Yeah.
And so I think that everyone should know that wait, you know, it may take a while, it may take a year, mm-hmm. But wait, if you have heard the voice of God, and we know, I mean, who was it? Somebody said that, how will I know if it's the voice of God? And someone said, if you hear and are impressed with something that's foreign to your way of thinking, more than likely, that's God. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really good because it was foreign to Abraham's way of thinking to get up and go. Right. He may have been happy where he was. Yeah. It was foreign to my way of thinking to quit my job because I was doing pretty good and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But I heard God say, and I knew it was God. And so I would just encourage the people not to be impatient, but to wait, but to know for sure. Don't go quitting your job.
That's a good word.
Until you know it's God. I mean, if it's a big thing like that, be careful.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Well, he started out with a small thing. You're not spending enough time with me. You're not reading the Bible long, you know, you're not really with me. Mm-hmm. You're rushing off and you're rushing off. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would encourage the people to know. I mean, to do. If you're walking with the Lord and you know what it's like to hear the Lord, then give it time.
Yeah. I'm thinking about Kim leading us right now through study on standing in our new identity. And last week you were talking about the being and the doing. Mm-hmm. And what were some of those? You've got to, we don't do, I'm going to get it all wrong. Go ahead.
Well, I think what maybe you're thinking of is we behave out of what we believe to be true. So in God, in our relationship, like Jean's just saying, and how she did this so faithfully, she experienced God in that time with him. Mm-hmm. And so she was experiencing him as her father. She was his child, and then that she heard him, and then she did what he said. And that's what comes first, you know. We're being God's child. We're experiencing him as our father. Yeah. And the doing comes out of our being. And sometimes we get it flip-flopped. And I think that's what God was kind of stepping in and kind of rescuing you from, is we get our identity from all these things we're doing or not doing.
Yeah.
And God's like, no, it's from me. And then we spend that time with him and sit at his feet and listen, and we become more confident in who he is and who we are in him. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that he says, we have the grace to get up and do because we've experienced him.
Amen. Yes. Yeah. And like I said, we had been in ministry 20 years.
Yeah.
I was not a new Christian.
Right.
And I think that's another thing. Sometimes when a person gets saved and they're so excited, and they want to just set the world on fire, sometimes God says, "No, wait a minute. You got to learn a little something first. Let's walk together first." Yeah, and it is, I think it's important where you are when God can get your attention and can really speak to you.
And he got your attention with we're going to Mexico to hand out Bibles. And then from that came your desire that God gave you to learn Spanish.
Absolutely.
And it's like this desire.
An obsession.
Yeah, it became an obsession.
It really was.
Obsession.
It was a holy obsession.
And then, as we're going to hear, actually, in the next podcast, we're going to hear about how, you know, God took the learning of that Spanish and used it so much more than what we've even heard here. And it was a necessity for the ministry that God was calling you to. And
Amen.
I was talking with someone just this past week, and it's like they said to me that they just had for years and years felt like that God had a call on their life in ministry, but they had never moved on it. Mm. And I said, well, just take heed, because when a desire does not leave you, it stays there.
That's it.
That is a good clue that you need to ask God, is this from you? Because how many times do we miss that voice of God? And we don't heed, and we don't obey, and it's just all a part of his purpose and his plan, you know, for our lives. So, Jean, thank you for getting us started and sharing just that.
Oh, you're welcome.
We look forward to finishing the rest of the story in our next episode. So, listeners, don't miss out.
Yeah, make sure you join us for part 2 with Jean Stevens. Friends, thank you for joining us today for a burst of hope. Until next week, go ahead, receive His overflowing hope.